today, I don't want to talk to the people that think they know it all. If you know all about church and religion and all that, I'm not talking to you today. I'm not talking to the people that got it all figured out. I ain't talking to you today. The God told me today I need to talk to some people that been through some stuff. I need to talk to some people that's on the fence about some things. So just so you know, today's message is for somebody that's going through something. Is anybody going through something? If you're going through something, God got a word for you. Amen. If you ain't going through nothing, God got a word for you. Amen. If you got your Bibles, if you would go with me to the book of John. Katrina, I don't know what I did with the remote, so please help me. John, the 11th chapter, the 33rd verse. And if you are able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. If you don't have a Bible or a telephone, because sometimes we got Bibles on our cell phones, it is on the screen for your convenience. Amen. And it reads as such, and I'll be reading this from the NIV version. When Jesus saw her weeping and the people who had come with her weeping, he was intensely moved in spirit and greatly distressed. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Thus the people who had come to mourn said, "Look how much he loved him." But some of them said, "This is the man who caused the blind man to see. Couldn't he have done something to keep Lazarus from dying?" Don't you get them people that always got something to say but don't ever want? Okay, we'll get there in a minute. Just give me a second. But some of them said, "This man who caused the blind man to see could have done something that kept Lazarus from dying." Jesus intensely moved again, came to the tomb. Now, it was a cave and a stone was placed across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the deceased, replied, "Lord, by the time the body will have a bad smell because he'd been buried for 4 days. Jesus responded, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you that you have listened to me. I knew that you always listen to me, but I said this for the sake of the crowd standing around here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he shouted in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The one who had died came out, his feet, hands tied up with strips cloth and a cloth wrapped around his face. Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again to say thank you, Lord. I thank you for this moment to speak to your people, Lord. I ask that you remove Buddy out of the way, Lord. Speak to me and speak through me so your people may be edified. And all this we ask in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. So, if I had to put a title with today's message, I would simply call it "The Power in a Name." The power in a name. Tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, there is power in the name." Tell your other neighbor on the other side, because I don't think they heard you say, "Neighbor, there is power in a name." So there is a few things that God showed me in this particular text. The power of a name. And I thought that was appropriate because as we sung that song earlier, "He knows my name." I thought that was important. I thought that was powerful because he knows my name. Me. Little old me. When on the bigger scopes of things, I am just a pebble of sand in this big old earth. But he knows my name. He knows how many pieces of hair I have on my head. Yep, you too. He knows how many cuts and bruises I have. He knows my innermost desires. He knows my good and my bad. He knows my name. I think it's interesting if you look up the word name, and I did on Google, you can try it if you don't believe me. It's called a word or a set of words by which, hold on, there it is. A word or a set of words by which a person, animal, place, or thing is known, addressed, or referred to. A word or set of words by which a person, animal, place, or thing is known, addressed, or referred to. So your name was given to you at the earliest point of your life. Think about it. Any parents in the house today? Any parents? Think about when you had your child. Whatever child you have, no matter how many numbers you have. When you had your first child, second child, third child, fourth child, and so on, when did you know to give them a name? Somewhere around, you know, when I found out, right? So my son, so first off, this is, okay, a real quick story, real quick story. So me and my wife, we have, before Robert was born, I had two kids, she had two kids, we put the kids together, we got four kids, we said, yep, we're done, right? We're no more, right? So we go to Chicago, we go out to visit her family for whatever the reason. On the way back home, she decided, she said, oh, I don't feel good, my stomach hurt, right? I'm thinking, okay, you got an upset stomach, no problem, because we ate at some place and it really wasn't that good. So I was thinking that's what it was, maybe we was food poisoned, but no worries, we was, you know, about 20 miles from St. Cloud, so we'll just go right to the hospital. So we got in St. Cloud, came right to the hospital, went into the check in the hospital. You know, they do, went to the ER, sat in there for 2 hours. Yep, it was horrible. Sat in there for 2 hours, sat there, went, finally got back to the back. The doctor came in there and, you know, they go through their list of questions. And one of the questions said, are you pregnant? We both looked at each other and said, ha ha! Right? Because we knew that wasn't about to happen. Now, and the reason why we knew that wasn't about to happen, because when we did try to make it happen, it never happened. Because sometimes when you're trying to do things on your time and not God's time, God's going to take care of it, but he's going to give it to you, not when you want it, but when you need it. Y'all missed that. So we're in the hospital. The doctor come back. You know, they do all the tests to try to find out what's going on with her. They come back and say, oh, we got good news for you. We was like, yeah, so we thinking, you know, we about to know what the problem is. They say, yeah, you're pregnant. Both of our faces went. So 9 months later, my son was born, right? That's the true story. Now, here's the interesting part. We was trying to figure out what we was going to name him. Because names are important, right? Is names important? So the name is important. So what we decided was my dad's name was Robert. Her dad's name was James, but my grandfather, who halfway raised me, also name was James. So we came up because I wanted to make sure that my dad was still around, even though he passed away when I was 2-3 years old. I wanted to make sure he was still around. So I named my son Robert after my dad. Not Buddy. Crazy, right? Didn't even put Buddy in his name at all. Because for us, it was important that our fathers... Y'all missed that. It was important for us that our fathers stayed at the front, present in the name. Amen? See, a father's love is different than a mother's love. But I'll get there in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself. So Robert James is my son's name. And we figured that out early in his life. I also learned that names represent tradition. In some cultures, The first name is the father's name, the second name is the grandfather's name, and the third name is the family name. Amen? Y'all with me? So in the cultures, that's how it goes. So the name represents three generations. Y'all catching me? Y'all following me? You'll follow me in a minute. If not, go get the audio. It'll be ready for you. Oh. So it represents tradition. So when I started thinking about all of this, I was like, wow, what is the name? So there's a name Jesus, and we know there's power in the name Jesus, right? We know there's power in the name Jesus. But then it said that he knows my name. So I started to want to kind of break this text down a little bit. Is that okay? Can I break it down? Give me 25 minutes. I promise you, I'll be out of here. Get you out of here. 25 minutes. Don't count. Don't look at the clock, though. All right. We find ourselves right now in a particular text that Jesus had just got done healing and saving. Now Jesus was on his way. He was in Judea, and they said, you know, we don't understand. Why do you continue to do the things that you do, and you don't believe that we are believing? He said, well, I am the resurrection. I am the beginning of life. Nobody takes their life from me. I take it down for myself. That's chapter 10. I'm just trying to run it really quick for you. Then chapter 11, we get to the point where now Jesus understands. He has been got the news that his good friend Lazarus was sick. His good friend Lazarus was sick, but he didn't rush to his aid. You do know that Jesus didn't really have to be there to heal him. The scripture says that they came and told him on Tuesday, but he didn't leave till Saturday. He could have healed him on Tuesday, but he didn't make the journey till Saturday. So Jesus said to his disciples, you know, there's always that, you know, Doubting Thomas said. So he finally told the disciples, he said, hey, we got to go. My friend Lazarus is asleep. And they say, well, if he sleep, that's good. Jesus, let him sleep. He'll get better when he sleep, because we heal when we sleep. He said, no, you don't understand. Actually, he's dead. Actually, Lazarus is dead. Now, remember, these are his disciples. They was with him. So they got the message when he came. They came and said, hey, your man is sick. You need to get there. And Jesus said, give me a minute. I got some other work I got to get done. Do you know sometimes we spend too much time trying to satisfy our stuff? And when Jesus gives you something, when God gives you something, that's to take priority. Do you know? Y'all missed that. Do you know that? Let me reword that. Sometimes we have an agenda. Sometimes we want to go do X, Y, and Z, but God wants us to do A, B, and C. But we don't want to go do A, B, C because we're too busy trying to accomplish X, Y, and Z. But what Jesus just showed us was, do my will first, and then I'll let you have yours. Amen? All right. All right, we're getting there. Says Jesus got there. Jesus came. Jesus got there to the house. He went and you know, so they lived in the mountains, so they saw them coming, and it said that Mary, the one who did his feet with perfume, ran out to meet him and said, Lord, 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 he's gone. He's sick. And it says, where have he laid him? And this is my favorite part. Jesus wept. Now, if you talk to theologians, they'll give you all kind of reasons on why Jesus wept. But I'm going to give it to you plain and simple. Can I do that? I just want to talk to us. Can we just talk today? This is why Jesus wept. Because he loved. Jesus wept because that was his friend. You know, it's a thing about this thing called love. This thing called love, this, when I think about my kids, my heart melts. You know, because we want them to do, and we got their whole life planned out for them, don't we? We know what they're going to do. We know they're going to go to school at. We know where they're going, how they're going to graduate. We know who they're going to marry. We know everything. We got their whole life planned out before them, before they even born. And it never goes that way, do it? It never goes that way. Matter of fact, we learn really young, as really young parents, that, wait a minute, that ain't what the book said. People give you advice and you be like, no, I'm gonna do it my way. But when you love your child, it changes the game. See, some of us, I'm just gonna talk to you for a minute. Some of us got some kids that are in some tough places. They dealing with some real stuff. And you are the best parent trying your best to raise your child in the way that you believe they should be raised. You keep them in church. You keep the scriptures in front of them, but still they go out there in the world and they do what they want to do, and your heart is heavy and you tear, you're crying all night and you don't know what to do. But you love your child. Thank you, Jesus, for my child. But God, I need you to pray for him. Because see, sometimes kids grow up and they think they know it all. And when they think they know it all, they begin to make choices like they know it all. But it's hurtful. Because I didn't raise you like that. I didn't put you around that. How did you find that? And here I am just trying to be the best Christian that I can be, but you about to make me lose my religion. Let them people have you, because I've tried. I put you in this, I put you in that, I put you there, I put you here, and no matter what I do, you fight me, and I'm done. Oh, I thought I was talking to somebody in here. I'm done. Some of us was those children. You can say amen. It's okay. Some of us was those that grew up under the sanctified holiness of the church. And we couldn't take it no more, because I know my kids get tired of it. We do about 2 or 3 church services a Sunday, Bible school. I'm playing gospel all day, every day at home. I know they tired of it. But the Bible say, train a child in the way of the Lord and they will not depart from it. And I'm a firm believer in it. So that's all right. You can listen to your hippity hop. You can have it. But you're going to get some Jesus in you too. Amen. It's important. Don't worry about what they're going through. It say the prayers of the righteous availeth much. Amen. Now, I wanted to illustrate that to you, because that's how God feel about you. Ooh, that just say, help me, Lord. That's how God feels about you. That's how much he loves you. That's why Jesus died. That's why Jesus wept. Jesus wept because his friend Lazarus was dead. He was gone. There was no more smiles, no more this, no more that. But Jesus also knew what he was about to do. He was about to foreshadow to the disciples what was about to happen to him. But they didn't catch it yet. You know, because sometimes we don't get it till after we got it, but then it's too late. Y'all missed that? Okay, that's all right. We'll catch it later. Katrina, help me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He's saying, I want you to have these proud moments. But also want you to have encouraging moments. And I also want you to sacrifice. There's a quick Bible story that it found in Genesis where God told Abraham, take that boy, go up to the mountain. and sacrifice them for me. Oh, that's love. That's love. Anybody got kids in here? What if I told you, take your oldest, go up to the highest point in St. Cloud. There you'll find an altar and sacrifice them to me. Is that easy? I mean, the thought of just taking my child and putting them in a car and even thinking about trying to do that, that hurts. But Abraham said, Lord, because I believe in you and I trust you so much, I'm going to do it. Even though I prayed for this son for a really long time. Even though you gave me a son, but it wasn't the son that you had for me. It was me and my wife trying to do your job. Now you gave me a son at this old age, and now you want me to kill it? So he went there. And let me tell you how cool Isaac was. Isaac was all for it. He said, if it be God's will, Daddy, then it's God's will. And he went up there, and the Bible say that he laid him out. And the son laid there just like a nice little sheep. And he prepared for his death. And right when Abraham raised his sword and began to come down, a ram appeared in the bush. And the angel said, Abraham, Abraham, do you hear God's voice? Do you hear God's voice? You should hear God's voice. Because sometimes he'll stop you from doing things if you just hear his voice. We spend too much time. We got too many distractions. Don't you know God talk like this? He ain't got to be loud. You know what? It's powerful just like this. But if you got all these distractions going on around you, you can't hear his voice. And that's why we got to meditate, pray, and fast so that we can hear his voice so he can talk to us. Amen? All right, I'm running out of time, and I'm doing so. Let me speed up a little bit. The power of a name implies value and judgment. What is value? Value is the regard that something is held to deserve importance, worth, or usefulness of something. Bartimaeus, the blind man. Y'all know the story of Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus was a blind man who heard Jesus was walking by. He couldn't see. He just heard the noise that Jesus was coming through. And he said, I just need to get to Jesus. If I can just get to Jesus, I'll be all right. He had a little faith. Anybody got some faith like that? If I can just call on Jesus' name, I'll be all right. If I can just pray to Jesus, I'll be all right. So he said, Bartimaeus said, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus turned around. Now you got to remember, now hold on, I want you to put this in perspective. There was about 100 people around with yelling and screaming, but he heard Bartimaeus. Y'all missed that. There was all this noise and distraction happening everywhere. But while Bartimaeus was sitting there in a corner, blind, not really knowing where exactly Jesus was at, he said, Jesus, Jesus. And Jesus said, stop, hold up, tell him to come here. Bartimaeus, he said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith, y'all missed it. So the coolest thing was he knew who he was. And the crowd, a big crowd, because he know his sheep. God knows who you are. God knows who you are. He hear your prayers. He's working in your life every single day. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But you got to believe it. It ain't easy. It's some work. It's some work to be saved. Oh, y'all quiet today because it must be easy for you. I battle this Christian thing every moment of my life. Every time I turn around, temptation in my face. So y'all must be holy rollers. I don't know. I got problems in my life. Amen. And I'm a pastor. I ain't perfect. Oh, I got some problems. Every day it seemed like I did. See, y'all thought I was lying. I wasn't lying. We got problems, amen. He said, I forgot where I was at. Okay, listen, okay. I know where I was going now. Jesus wants to bring you from your dead place. Some of you are spiritually dead. You read your Bibles, you go to church, you do the traditional stuff, you know, you're here. Amen. But when you're sitting in that seat, you don't feel that spirit. See, when I'm in the spirit, I get goosebumps, Larry. You know, when that anointing start hitting, I get excited. Jeremiah said it's like fire shot up in my bones. And it makes me want to run when I don't want to run. It makes me want to move when I don't want to move. It makes me want to jump when I don't want to. Well, I get excited when I get the anointing. Oh, yeah, I get fired up about this thing. See, this ain't no. I ain't talking about no people. You know, just some places, they do things differently. That ain't for me. I like to shout. I like to jump. I like to let God know that he is worthy of my praise. I like to let God know that it's because of him I am here today. Oh, yeah, yeah. Some of us should have been dead already. Amen. Yeah, don't just say ouch. But God, he saw something in you to save you. He saw something in you to do the work for him. That's why you're still here. Some of us got some friends and some families that we was in some places that we shouldn't have been, but nothing happened to you. But everything happened to them. That's favor. That's favor. Better yet, that's your testimony. That's your testimony. How many people gives a testimony a day? I'm put up this hand too, and then this hand, and then this one. Listen, I ain't saying go out there and try to persuade somebody to get Christ and go into this big old argument. It ain't that serious. You ain't got to argue with them. They want to argue with you. Just say, amen. Hey, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Okay, well, conversation's over. I'm just gonna go ahead and go. Or you can say, that's interesting. Let me get a number to my pastor. Let you call him and let him go back to back because I might not be there yet. I might not be there. I might not know the Bible well enough that I can go tat for tat with you. But let me tell you the real simple answer. Jesus saves.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Hallelujah.
When whatever they say, well, what about the Bible when it said X? Jesus saves. Well, what about when it said Jesus saves? Well, what about when it said Jesus saves? No matter what they say, just say, Jesus saves. Because when you say Jesus saves, enough said. Because what that means is that he overcame death. What that means is, yeah, he was on the cross, He hung there. They stabbed him. He bled. They gave him the spurn. The veil, everything that the Bible said happened. And it says that he has a new kingdom in heaven, and he's the King of Kings. Jesus saves. So whatever you're talking about, you can't tell me nothing, because Jesus saves. The last thing, it's my identity. The Bible says that when he said this, he shouted in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." I'm going to put a pin right on that Lazarus part. This is why. Very important piece. Jesus got so much power. If he just would have said, "Come out," every dead person walking would have moved. Huh? Remember, he was in a tomb. They was by the cave, the tombs. They was in the tombs. There was a lot of dead. They was in the mountains. He had to specifically say, "Lazarus, come out." Because he had to call his name. Now, what the Bible is telling us is that sometimes you're in a dead place, but Jesus is calling you to come out of your dead place. This is what I want you to do for me. This is what I want you to do. Whatever your name is, say your name. Just say it to yourself. Just say it loud. Make your name. Just say your name. Like Buddy, just say your name. Buddy. Right. Say Buddy. Say your name one more time. There we go. Now, this is what I want you to say. I want you to do this whole sentence. I want you to say your name, and I want you to say, "Come out." Like this. Buddy, come out. All right. Try it. 1, 2, 3, go. How'd that feel? Yeah, let's do it one more time. Do it again. 1, 2, 3.
Come out.
One more time.
Come out
of your dead place.
Hallelujah.
Come out of that place that got you down. We said we got problems. We said that we know the things that's going on in our lives, but some things you cannot control. Stop trying to control the things you can't control, because you can't control it. Only one who can control it. You know what you can do? You can pray. You can pray. You can say, "Jesus, please help them. Fix them, touch them, remove them, whatever. Help Jesus, because Jesus saves." Ask the praise team to come up. There's a rock in front of the church. Y'all ever see that when y'all come in? That big old rock. Big old rock. That rock got some symbol to it. It got some meaning to it. That rock is foundation. That rock is foundation. Matthew 16:18 says, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." How many know that you go to a church that God is and Jesus is in complete control of?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It says that I'm going to build my church.
Uh-huh.
But see, they can't build the church by itself. He needs you to help him. He needs you to evangelize for him. Do you love your church? Do you love your church? Come on. If you love your church. He needs you today. Today is your day. Today is your day. Today is your day for the new life. Today is your day for a new opportunity. Today is your day to let go of all those things in the past and start afresh and anew. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. You think about everything that's been going on. You think about everything that's been going on. And what do you got left? Pain, sorrow, suffering, hurt. Our loved ones, some gone, some still here. Some actually passed on. Some just left us. We have our relatives that, you're my mom, you're my sister, you're my brother, you're my dad, but we don't even have the opportunity to talk because you won't let go of something so petty. But I've prayed for you, but it ain't changed. I wanna see you with me. When I get to those pearly gates in the heavens, I wanna see you there. I wanna be able to give you a big old hug after I thank Jesus and give him the hallelujah. I wanna be able to sing with you in the angelic choir. Our loved ones, those that are lost, but you are the light. You are the light that shines. You are the light that glows. You are the light in their life. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? God didn't put you here for no reason at all. He got a purpose for you. He knows your name because he called you. He knows my name. He knows my name. He knows my name. Do he know your name? Think about it. Is this your worship? If this is your worship, just close your eyes. Just put your hands up. See, he's talking to you right now. He's talking to your heart. You to come.
Know how he walks with me.
He walked with you. He walks with you every single day.
Know how he talks with me.
All you gotta do is listen. All you gotta do is open up your ears.
Know how he tells me.
He brought me from a long, long, long way. The Father.
You know my name.
That means you got all the riches. You got everything. There's nothing you can't have.
You know my name.
He said, if you ask it in my name, it shall be.
You know my name.
Hallelujah. Come on, praise him in this place.
It's still amazing.
Break it down. Today, I know it's a little bit different than what we normally do. But God is telling me somebody in here is hurting. God told me somebody in here is fighting. Because it's hard to take care of your parents. But you feel obligated because they took care of you. God said that, keep me first, and I will give you the strength that you need. Somebody has a child lost out in the world that you haven't heard of, you haven't heard from in a while. And God said, don't worry. I hear your prayers. I continue to comfort them. I continue to give them the presence. He knows your name. He heard your prayers. Every whisker on your body, he knows you in and out. What a mighty God we serve. He says, I am your friend. That is your father. Some of us didn't have the opportunity to have an earthly father growing up. But let me tell you about a good dad. A good dad gonna give you what you need when you need it. Not when you want it. A good dad is gonna discipline you when you need it. Not just because. A good dad is going to give you the inheritance of your wants. I just want to ask the prayer team to come up. We want to open up prayer for anybody who needs it. Everybody needs prayer. Prayer changes things. God wants to trouble your heart a little bit this morning. Somebody, I hear you. You're fighting, but preacher. God said, let it go. Don't fight it. You got medical things going on. Your kids got medical things going on. You don't know what to do. Seem like you want a doctor to doctor, hospital to hospital, and nobody can figure it out. He said, bring it to the altar. Bring it to the altar. Altar changes things.